So Joe, is the passage going to be up as I'm going through this or no?
Yes.
Okay. Good, 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 good. All right. How many know this passage, have at least gone through it at least once in your life? Okay. Good, 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 good. Normally, I will go verse by verse and segment by segment, and because of what I want to cover, I'm going to have to take spotty points here and there, okay? So because you guys are familiar with this, I can do this. Okay, the last time I was here, I asked the question, the spiritual things that you do you do it from yourself, or do you do it from your relationship with Christ? That's a hard question. You're here in church now. Do you come because of Jesus, or do you come because this is a normal thing that you do on a Sunday morning? Hard to tell, right? When you read the Bible, do you read it because you desire to have a relationship with God, or do you do it because you're supposed to do it, or the pastor told you to do it? Hard to tell. Hard to tell. Well, the last time I was here, I posed that same question from the book of James, and I hope you guys still can think about it. But today I'm going to give you another test. I told you the last time that the next time you invite me, I'm going to do this. There's also one other test, but you're going to have to wait until the next time I get invited, okay? So why don't we pray, and then we're going to get started, okay? Father, as we look into your word, I pray that you would open our eyes that we can see, open our ears that we can hear, open our minds and our will that we can mold it and mend it to you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So today I'm going to present another test from John 15. And I'm going to call this the fruit test. Okay, the fruit test. So it starts off, John starts off, he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it even be more fruitful. You are already clean because of the words I have spoken to you. So we're talking about this relationship that we have with the gardener. Okay? There's three major players in this illustration. Jesus is using this illustration for illustrate his I guess this picture that he wants people to have, his listeners to have. So you have this vine, okay? Most of us have seen grapevines on TV or something, all right? We've seen a vine that grows out of the ground. It looks like a big bush, but it's actually a vine. And some of you probably grow Chinese guas, right? And so those are literally vines that come out, and then, you know, it just spreads, and then you got this big fruit that comes out of it, right? Those are vines. So the vine in this illustration that Jesus is giving is that he is the vine. Jesus is the vine, okay? So the vine draws the sustenance, the water, the nutrients from the soil through the root system goes up from the vine and it goes out into the branches. And that's the second major player, the branches. Who are the branches? Who are the branches? What? We are. Oh, that's okay. Answer loud. We are the branches. And for those that answer, I have prizes, okay? Yeah. Yeah, well, that's okay. That's okay. I have plenty. So who answered that one? I heard we are. Okay. You did? That's okay. I have plenty. There you go. All right. So we are the branches. We are the ones that actually hold the fruit. We are not the ones that produce the fruit. Correct? Correct? Good. Let's move on. All right. So we are dependent on the vine. To survive, to bear fruit, that's our job. That's our job. It's the vine that actually produces the fruit, correct? All right. Then you have this gardener. All right. This gardener is the Father, God the Father. He is the one that is very vital to the health of this vine. but he is not actually a part of this vine. Okay, he is responsible to prune these branches. Literally, it means to clean the branches. And what that means is, if you ever grow guava, you know that there's many shoots or many branches that come out of this vine. Well, you don't want all these branches on this vine, because some of these branches are going to produce fruit and some of them won't produce fruit. So you have to decide which one you're going to focus on and which ones you're just going to cut away. All right? So if you let these branches just grow, they're going to steal the nutrients that you would want to force into the branch that has the fruit. Right? Right? Oh, yeah, are you with me? You understand? Okay, good, 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 good. So these unproductive branches, although they're alive, they're not doing anything. So you just want to prune it away. All right. This actually could be the first test to see if you are a branch. All right. If you are a good branch, you're going to remain on the vine. If you're a bad branch, you're going to get cut off. All right. So the God the Father is going to decide, okay, is so-and-so good with me, or so-and-so not good with me? All right, so that could be the first test to see if you really have a good relationship with Jesus or not. All right. Sometimes pruning is painful. Sometimes pruning is painful. So let's say you've got a pretty good relationship with Jesus, okay? And if God really cares about you, he's going to prune. He's going to cut. He's going to take away the things in your life that's not producing the fruit that he wants to see in your life. So, let me ask you a question. Is God pruning something in your life? Is there a value or a character in your life that needs to be nurtured, but you can't do it yourself, so God is putting trials and difficulties in your life just trying to nurture you in that character? Do you see that happening? One character that I have a difficulty in, especially when I'm driving, is patience. And sometimes God allows me to have a ticket. Says, okay, you're not learning patience. I'm going to have to let you get a ticket. That's painful. That's costly. Sometimes, because I'm not impatient, I sometimes get in accidents. Okay, you're still not learning patience. Tickets aren't working. Now you're going to have an accident in order to learn. Okay, so you're following me? You're following me? There's areas in your life that need to be pruned, that need to be cleansed, that need to be nurtured. What areas in your life is God doing something? Or is God not doing anything? You see my question? You understand where I'm coming from? Okay, let's move on. So you got the gardener that's working on your life. Then you got the relationship that you have with the vine. Verse 4. Remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. And so what does this remain mean? What does this remain mean? In the context of relationships, it means be close to me. Stay close to me, and I'll stay close to you. So when two people stay connected to one another, what happens? Or how does two people stay connected to one another? Communication. Very good. You're talking to one another. So in the Christian realm, how are we communicating with God? or Christ? Prayer. Very good. So that's our way of communicating. How's Christ communicating? The Word. Holy Spirit. Very good. Very good. You guys are on track with this stuff. Okay. What else? Besides communication, what else? Come on, especially you guys that are you all that have relationships with them. Come on. Spouse. Come on. Oh, do you have fellowship with your wife? That's not the word I would use. Come on, honey, let's have some fellowship today. No. Okay, love. All right. Okay. Intimacy. All right, what else? This is a family church, by the way. What else? Quality time. Honey, we need to spend some quality time, right? Yeah, did you hear that? We got to spend some quality time. So, what is quality time? All right? Sometimes time you spent seems not quality, but sometimes the normal time that you spend is quality. I don't know. I don't know what becomes quality and what becomes not quality, but as long as you're spending time, sometimes quality happens, right? All right, let's move on. All right, you guys know what I'm talking about. Okay. You're talking to one another. You spend fun time together. You share your thoughts, your feelings with one another. You make plans on the future together. All right? And when problems arise, you know, you spend time together, all right, to support one another. That's what it means to remain. And so relating to Christ is this multifaceted endeavor. Okay, He resides in you, and yet relating to Him is also having this long distance type of relationship. Right? All right, you don't see Him. All right, He could be in another state far away. So how do you relate then? Come on. How do you relate if it's a long-distance relationship? Skype, text, telephone. If you guys still know how that works. Exactly. So friends or couples keep their relationship strong if they spend that, using tools to spend time together. So what happens when you don't spend that kind of time together? No signals? Okay, no signals. Yeah, I lost. Yeah, honey. Oh, yeah, I haven't been getting a signal for the last week. All right. So, usually when you're not in contact with the other person, You drift. Feelings drift. All right? You find other people that'll fill that relational void, and sometimes that can get you into trouble. Correct? All right. So, verse 5. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So here's where the rubber meets the road. I can do nothing. There have been times I don't spend much time with Jesus. I can still do things. I still go to work. I still tend to my garden. I still mow my lawn. I could do a lot of things without Jesus. What's he talking about here? It's not what you can do. It's the spiritual things that you do. It's the spiritual things that you do. All right. Let's move on. We can do many things without depending on Christ. one's religious behavior can go on for a long, long, long time before anyone notices, even before the person notices. Let me give you an illustration. Former president of the Moody Bible Institute, Michael Easley, shared about this. He has a friend that used to be an elder in the church. This elder of the church stepped down from being an elder, and this is what he told Michael. He said, "Michael, I just don't have an intimate, vital connection with the Bible and with the scripture anymore. And I think it's disingenuous to be an elder while I don't feel connected with God's word." So this man stepped down. And when I heard that, I said, wow, I really respect the honesty of this individual. Because we live in a culture that sometimes we put on this facade that everything in our life between us and God are fine, and no one knows that we're really not fine. Right? Everyone thinks that we're fine, especially church leaders. We're expected to look a certain way. We're expected to talk a certain way. And we do that even in spite of our disconnect with our relationship with God. Now, I'm not saying every leader is like that. Please do not think that. All right? But if a person is really honest, then they'll say, you know, I'm not really connected. I better take some time off because I'm not doing myself a favor, not doing the church a favor. I'm not even doing Christ a favor. All right, let's move on. So the question is, the very last point, my third point is, how do you know? How do you know how you're doing with Christ? And here's the test. Here's the fruit test. Oh, I wish you guys had your Bibles. You're going to show the verses, right? Okay. All right. I've heard sermons on this passage. And the first thing that they would say is, oh, this is the fruit of the Spirit. This is converts that you bring to Christ. And at first, that's what I used to preach on too, because that's what I heard. And then as I'm studying, it's like, why am I taking, this is a passage written by John, John the disciple of Christ. Why am I taking ideas from the Apostle Paul and inserting it into John's writing? John wasn't thinking the fruit of the Spirit. So what is John thinking? What is John thinking? He tells us in this passage. So if you're going to miss any of this, please take your time to read this passage again, and you're going to see it. Verse 3, the first fruit. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Now, this is Jesus talking to the disciples, okay? You're already clean because of the words I've spoken to you. I say the first fruit that you see here is a sensitivity to sin. I've spoken you these words, Jesus is saying. You have received these words from Christ. You have taken these words to heart, and you have allowed the words I've spoken to you to change your life. So the first fruit, I would say, is when is the last time you felt you had sin in your life? When is the last time you have heard a sermon or read in the Bible and say, oh, this is really convicting me? That's the first fruit, a sensitivity to sin. Because the closer you are to Christ, the more sensitive you are to sinfulness. Correct? First fruit, sensitivity to sin. If I'm coming on too strong, I'm sorry. I'm really passionate about this, and I really am concerned about my fellow Christians. And I don't think that you hear this kind of preaching. And so if I come in on too strong, sorry, just please take it that I want to address the Word of God as accurately as I can to you, because it's not, it's for me, but it's also for you, okay? Sensitivity to sin, the first one. Verse 7 and also verse 16. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be given to you. Second, answered prayer. Do you see in your life that God is answering prayer? Ask whatever you wish. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and my Father will give you what you're asking for. Wow. Wow. Answered prayer. Third one. Obedience and love for Christ. Verse 9 and 10. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's command and remain in his love. Now earlier Jesus said to his disciples, remain in me and I will remain in you. And here he's saying, remain in my love. So, is it up to the believer to remain in his love? Is it up to me to remain in his love? It sounds like it, doesn't it? Why is he saying this? Does it mean that Jesus' love for us is contingent in our response to his love? Yes and no. All right? We already know that God loves us, that Jesus loved us even before we're yet born again. All right? He loves us while we're sinners, right? Correct? Okay. But it says that if you remain in my love, all right? So it's your choice whether you want to remain in his love. All right? Let me give you an illustration. Hopefully this is going to help you. You know, as a child, my mom would always say, if you loved me, you would do what? If you love me, you do what I tell you, right? We say that all the time. If you really love me, you do what I'm telling you. All right? It's not that mom didn't love me to begin with. She gave birth to me. She fed me. She kept me clean all these years. Took care of me. Took me to the doctor when I'm sick. Mended my socks and my underwear. She loved me. But my mom's love for me stirs up a response of love to her. Sometimes my response would be a hug. Sometimes it would be a gift. But most of all, she wants my obedience. That's the way you communicate to Christ that you love him, your obedience. Jesus says, I never acted independently from my Father. All right? And he said he only spoke what the Father gave him to speak. So he went to the cross of Calvary in obedience to the will of the Father. And so it is with the believer. Christ's love prompts us to love him in return by trying to please him by obedience. So how is your love and obedience to him? All right, third fruit. Fourth fruit, verse 11. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Joy. So joy is a byproduct of your remaining or staying connected with Christ. All right. So, you know, joy is such a hard, can't really put a finger on it, all right? Because there are days I wake up, I feel joy, all right? There's day I feel, wake up, it's like, okay, I got to get up, right? But the true joy comes when there's a trial and you still have joy. It's like, whoa, people say, are you okay? You know, this kind of circumstance usually puts people in depression or anxiety, and yet you don't seem to have it. What's wrong with you? It's because Christ is in me, and I have this joy that I can't explain. All right? Paul and Silas. All right? You saw their joy most when they're what? Where? Paul and Silas, what did they do that converted the Philippian jailer? What were they doing? What? Yeah, but the guards didn't see them praying. Say, oh, I can see your prayer. What were they doing? They're singing. They're singing. They're in stocks. They're in chains. And they're singing. First, I don't want to ever go to prison. First of all. But when I do, I don't know if I'm going to have joy. I'm so glad I'm here, Lord. Thank you for sending me here, Lord. I don't know. That's going to be a hard one. A, B, C, D, E. 5, the first one. 5th one, verses 12, 13, and 17. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love is no man than this, that he lays down his life for his friends. Verse 17, this is my command, love each other. How can you command someone to love? What's your name? What? Aria? Aria, what if one of your guy friends says, I command you to love me? Forget it! Forget it! If I don't love you already, I'm not going to love you just because you tell me to love you. But that's what Jesus is saying. Love that person. Love that person. I can love people, especially people that are nice back, right? If I say hello to you, you say hello back. If I give you a gift, you give one back, right? But what about a person that you say hello to and they just look at you and say, I'm not saying hello to you again. I can love people that love me back. I love people because they're good people, okay? I don't love people that hate me. When's the last time you loved the person that hated you? I can't stand your love. I can't stand your guts, but I love you. This stuff you can't do by yourself. This stuff you can't do by yourself. How are we doing on time? We're really good? What time are we supposed to be done? Oh, okay. Maybe I should have taken more time then. All right. Are you guys getting this? Are you getting this? Okay. The last one, A, B, C, D, E, F, 6, the 6th one, verse 14 to 15. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other. Okay. Jesus is talking to his disciples, right? What's a disciple? What's a disciple? What's a disciple? Yeah, what is a disciple? That's right. Yeah. All right. This is for Baby and Joanna. All right. A disciple is a student. A disciple is one who follows the teacher. Jesus is the rabbi, teacher. Jesus is the teacher. And the one who follows and listens to him is the student, is the disciple, is the follower. Can you go back? Previous verse. What is Jesus calling his disciples? Before that. Before he calls them friends, what does he say? You're my servant. You know what Greek word that is? That's doulos. Doulos means slave. So imagine Jesus is saying, you're my disciples. Actually, you're not my disciples. You're my doulos. You're my slaves. Oh, what? You know, because back then, when you're following a teacher, you get some status depending on that teacher. If the teacher is a well-known, well-regarded teacher, you're the student of so-and-so. What status do you have? You're my slave. You're my property. You're nobody. You obey because I tell you, and as a slave, you obey because it's required of you to obey. But now Jesus says, I don't call you servants anymore. I don't call you a slave. I call you my friend. I call you my friend. Because now you know everything that my Father told me, and I'm communicating to you. So you know everything that my Father wants you to know. So you're just like me. You're a friend. You know, we sing the song, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," right? And that's true. What a friend we have in Jesus. He's a friend indeed. He's a friend that's faithful. He's a friend that never leaves you. He comforts you when you need him. He guides you when you're lost. He's a friend. But the question is not his friendship with you. It's your friendship with him. That's the question. Does Jesus sing, "Oh, what a friend I have in Gordon"? What a friend. What a friend. So can he sing that song about you? That's the question. Can he sing that song about you? Let me just wrap this up, conclude. How do you know if you are one of the chosen of God? How do you know if you're one of the chosen of God? I know that God chose the Israel people. You're not even Jewish. You don't even got that going for you. How do you know you're chosen of God? How can I tell if I am among the spiritual children of Abraham? It's not when you went forward at a crusade, evangelistic crusade. It's not that you prayed the sinner's prayer. It's not because you got baptized and have a certificate to prove it. It's not because I feel that I believe in my heart. So this brings me all back to square one. How do we know? How do we know? How do I know that all my spiritual activity is being done because of my relationship with Christ and not generated by myself? See, many of these fruits can still be generated by yourself. Joy? Yeah, of course. I can force myself to be joyful. Sensitivity to sin? Sure, I can generate that myself. My love and obedience? Sure. I can do everything that I see in Scripture that I need to do. Sure, I can do that. You can even actually generate a sense of friendship with Jesus. Right? But how are we going to know? How are we going to know? All right, my grandfather used to grow Chinese melons in Chicago. He grew all sorts of melons. The winter melon, the bitter melon, the melon that grew long, and the ones that grew really fat, the hairy ones, the white dusty ones. He grew all sorts of melons. All right, he was so known of growing a melon that the neighborhood Chinese people would come by just to look at his garden. So living in Chicago, you got this small plot of land in the back, right? So he grows these guavas. And then as these, you know, vines, they grow all over the place if you don't control them or send them in the right direction. So we used to have this garage that's disattached from the apartment building. So he would have these guavas growing on these wooden racks, okay? If it's a rack, it's just like a ladder, so that the guavas would climb. All right. If you know guavas, they have this little feeler that grows out and wraps around whatever, and it's just if you guys don't know what I'm talking about, I'm sorry. So this guavas growing up all the way to the garage, on top of the garage, right? And those guavas, he would build this little hanging thing, all right? Basket. It's like a basket, all right? Because the guavas are so heavy, it's going to fall off the vine. So he builds this basket to hold the guavas, all right? Sometimes the guavas are on top of the garage, and so it's okay, all right? But when they're not, then he builds his basket so that it can sit, all right? And then at the end of the season, when he cuts it all down, he weighs it, and then he tags how much they are. That's how proud he was of his guavas, all right? I tell you. And then he would give it away to friends. And they said, oh, did you buy this? It's like, no, I didn't buy this. I grew it. And some of these, I think his kids in the neighborhood thought these are watermelons, right? Come on, they don't look like a watermelon. Okay, so one time someone took one, all right, and thought they're going to open it and eat it and enjoy. Yeah, right. So they smashed it on the ground and said, and tried it and said, you can't eat this. And so we find it in the alley in Chicago. Like, you guys don't know what you're doing. Why did you take the guava? Yeah. Okay. But all my years of watching my grandfather grow these guavas, never did I see that vine struggling to produce the fruit. Never. Oh, I gotta grow. It doesn't work that way. The plant never struggles to bring the fruit forth. It doesn't push it out. It doesn't. So when the fruit starts coming out, my grandfather will decide whether this branch will be the branch that carries this melon for this vine, or is it going to be another one? So the key for the branch to produce the fruit is the branch needs to let the vine do its thing and stop getting in the way. Like I said, you can self-generate joy. You can legalistically get bound up, set up these boundaries to avoid sin. You can faithfully obey everything in the Bible, but how are you going to answer prayer? How are you going to do that? How are you going to love your enemies sacrificially? You can only do that if you remain in Christ. Let's pray. Father, may your word be a challenge to us. That not only are we testing to see if we're really remaining in you or abiding in you, and that we're looking at the results in our lives to see if that's really happening. I pray that this sermon is not a challenge for us to do better, but a challenge for us to want to know you and want to be with you more. And as we pray in your name, amen.